You're listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming night, with reviews, news, discussions, and calling out bullshit in the gaming industry. Along with your host, longtime gamer, master of the obvious, and grumpiest old man, Matt Ailey. What's going on? What's going on? What is going on? Welcome to episode 6 of Gaming Night Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the chance to come and swing on by and hang out for a little bit. You don't know me. You've never heard of this podcast in your life, but yet you've decided to take a chance on it. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to do my best to not let you down. You picked a great day to come hang out because it is day 4 of E3 and we have lots of stuff to talk about today. Nintendo and Bandai Namco had their E3 showcases today, so we're definitely going to be talking about that. Nintendo pissed off a bunch of streamers first thing this morning. Classic Nintendo. And does Xbox Game Pass have actual value? Some folks don't think so. So there's lots of content to dig through today, lots of questions for you. And if you have thoughts, questions, topics, content you would like to see on the podcast, you can contact me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. And with that all out of the way, we will get to our first topic of the day. Does Game Pass have actual value? And the reason I bring this up is because today on my Twitter feed, I saw some tweets going around piling on Game Pass. And we know how it all is. As soon as there's something good for one console, the other consoles and usually jump on there and try and rip it apart, right? Console wars. We all know it. We all see it. And if Game Pass isn't for you, that's perfectly fine. I have no issue about that. It doesn't even seem to be worth talking about. But the one thing that kind of got my attention was a couple individuals were talking and saying and complaining about how tired they are that games media makes Game Pass out to be such a great deal and claiming that it's not. Claiming that it's actually not a great deal. And that people are kind of getting ripped off. And then they also said, value is subjective. It's not a great value because value is subjective. Now, I want to clarify something before I dig into this here. I want to clarify that I have three different consoles. I'm not part of the console war. I have an Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch. And I love each of them for very different reasons. They're all fantastic. They all provide incredible value as consoles. Hey, console wars are freaking stupid. So I'm not part of them. I get to enjoy gaming on all consoles. And I would on PC too, but my PC sucks, so we'll just leave it at that. But I was just surprised by these takes, because I think you honestly have to be pretty blind or honestly just looking in a completely different direction to not understand that there is a lot of objective value here. Not just subjective, but objective. And there are two types of value in this world, right? Subjective and objective. Subjective is your own opinion and if something has value to you. Objective is just fact, not opinion. Objective is just fact. So I'm saying in a fact basis, Game Pass has value. Whether you like it or not, that's up to you. But objectively, it has value. So let's break this down here. You pay for your subscription, and you have access to over 100 games. Not that you'll ever play them all, because it's a lot of games and maybe you're not into every single one, but you can. You have that option. If you want to play them, you can. So now, how much would I have to pay to gain access to that many games from straight up purchasing? And now I don't know the math, but I know it'd be freaking a lot. To figure out, sit down the actual math for each individual game that's on there, that would take a little while. But I'm saying the math is a lot. Just for me personally, I pay $18 Canadian a month for Game Pass, so that's roughly $216 a year. So now, if I took that $216, how many games could I have access to if I just straight up bought them? And the answer to that is 2.7 at $80, because that's how much it costs. In Canada, $80 for a new game. But pretty soon, it's going to be $90, so it's even less than that. So let's say, like, you know, 2.5. Two games in an indie, or two games and a good deal. right? So at the max, we'll just say three. We'll just call it three. So for $216 a year, I could have access to three games. Or for $216 a year, I could have access to over 100. The math doesn't lie. There is objective value there. And now let's say for people who have less money. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're on allowance. Maybe your family doesn't have a lot of money and they're able to get you a console, but not a bunch of games. And maybe you could only afford that 2.7 games a year. Maybe that's how much you had spare. 216 you can put towards games in a year. Are you going to put it towards to have access to three games that you can just play back and over and over and over again? Or are you going to put your money into Game Pass? And why wouldn't you want to put your money into Game Pass and play that library till at least maybe you can afford more, or you can buy stuff and still use Game Pass? Like, that's the nice thing. It's flexible. You can use Game Pass as your base game library, or you can use it to supplement your library and still keep buying games you want. You don't have to do one or the other. It's completely flexible. But what Game Pass has really done, especially for those who can't afford tons and tons of games a year, what Microsoft has done has made gaming much more accessible for lots of people. And that's not subjective. That's not subjective. That's math. That is objective value. Doesn't matter what you think of it, there's still value there. Just because I don't value a deal on sushi doesn't make the sushi worthless to the world. Well, Matt doesn't like sushi? We better just throw this all out then, because it is trash. If Matt doesn't like it, this has zero value. No, sushi still has objective value. It still costs something. It's cool if you yourself don't find value in it. Like, that's cool. That's totally fine. That part is subjective. It's not going to be for everyone's taste. But you can't expect the media to stop talking about its value. You can't be upset about that and say, it's a lie, it doesn't have value, everyone should just stop talking about it, it's pissing me off. No, it doesn't have value to you, but Game Pass has numeric value. Objectively, it is a great value for a lot of people. For anyone, if you're getting into gaming, if you're getting into an Xbox. Objectively, there's great value there. Just know that it's not for you and keep living your best life. Because the world doesn't revolve around you. Just because you don't like Game Pass doesn't mean all of a sudden Game Pass isn't valuable. And everyone's going to stop talking about it. Game Pass is a valuable service. And that's the worst part about these console wars, right? Everyone's just always pissing on everyone else. Pissing on fantastic games, deals, innovation, all simply because it's not their console. It's freaking stupid. It's so stupid. We live in an amazing time. There are so many new ideas, fantastic games, and amazing stories out there. If we spent less time trying to pick apart everything and recognize each console or PC for the benefits it has and celebrated that, our gaming community as a whole would be way better off and happily enjoying all the experiences that are out there. Like I said myself, I have all three and I love them for different reasons. Both bring different experiences to the table. And I get to happily enjoy them all without caring which one has what. That shit doesn't matter. Go and enjoy gaming. Game how you want. Love the way you play, and don't let anyone crap on your parade, because just because it doesn't have value to them doesn't mean it doesn't have value to you. Doesn't mean it doesn't have value just objectively. Game Pass has value. Goddamn console wars. God, stupid. So what do you think about Game Pass? What is your subjective opinion? What console other than your main do you really like? Let me know what's on your mind. Alright, and with that, we'll move into our second topic of the day. Nintendo pissing people off. No freaking surprise there. Nintendo's always does a great job of it, but somehow, somehow they always make up for it too. It's pretty crazy. It's a very confusing relationship. But anyway, here's the story. And I'll put a link here in the description if you want to go check out the story on IGN. But Nintendo Japan put out a tweet this morning stating, no mirror stream. So no other streamers, new content creators can actually restream their stream. If you know what, and I'm sure 100% you know what I'm talking about. If you're looking for gaming podcasts, you're pretty much in the know. A lot of streamers, a lot of content creators will stream the event and do their reaction live. So their audience can come in, watch the stream, and watch the reaction. It's a great way to just have that interactivity and be able to watch the show and the presentation with somebody else and with the community that gathers around. So a lot of people do it. It's a very common thing. Now, what they said, so they said no mirror stream. So they didn't want you streaming their stream that they're going to put out. They said you could stream you reacting to it, but you can't actually show footage of their event. And later on, they mentioned that you will be prosecuted if you do this. So it seemed pretty intense. Now, it's not clear if this was intended for everyone or just the people in Japan. That was still a little bit confusing, and I'm honestly not even sure where that landed. But a lot of streamers got pissed off about this, and many people canceled their streams. Even Twitch chose not to stream the event. So my take on this is, ultimately, it was kind of a dumb move. I think it was a really dumb move. Like, this was not what E3 needed. E3's already struggling. E3's already having a hard time. We just went through a really rough day yesterday of E3 content. Not being able to have streamers and content creators stream the event, at least not supposed to be able to stream it. It's a really dumb move. And again, another move by Nintendo of hostility against creators, content creators. And I just don't think it was a smart move. It's not a great way to get positive attention and more eyes on your stream and all the products and all the games that you're going to be having coming out. Like, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. It just was a dumb move. Now, overall, like, it seems the world is increasingly hostile to content creators. Like, this is something I've been noticing recently, especially streamers and YouTubers, right? And Nintendo was always pretty tough with its rules when it came to their video games. They're very protective of their IP, and that's their right. That's their right. But we've also seen DMCAs start rolling in very aggressively across YouTube, across Twitch. Some people even losing their channels completely outright because they're violating these music laws. And other people have the mindset that content creators, influencers are useless. And they shouldn't be allowed to stream events, and they shouldn't be allowed to stream games. So the world, it seems, you know, and while not every video game company, the majority are actually for content creators. They continue to help work with them and promote with them. But there are some that are just hostile to that idea. But when you look at the content creator, they play an important part. They do. They help get your message to your target audience. Lots of folks won't see your info until their favorite creator covers it, right? Some folks won't even play a game till they wait to see, you know, their favorite creator play or review the games. Content creators, influencers are your direct line to the people. It's like the difference between a rapid-fire machine gun and a sniper rifle if you're trying to take out someone a really long ways away, right? Like, if you're just sending it out on your own socials, yeah, maybe it'll hit some people, maybe it'll get around, but when streamers come and take it, they take your information, they take your message, and focus it and target it to their audience. So it's directly getting to these people who, in the cloud and craziness of the internet, aren't always going to find it, and maybe it's not always going to show up in their algorithm. But if you have the content creator promoting it, well, then they're going to see your message. It's a direct line to the people. Instead of just throwing it out into the wide space of the internet, it becomes a focused tool to get your message across. And not to mention, the influencer has influence over these people. So they can, you know, if they're promoting or encouraging or saying, hey, this is a great product, the people listening are more likely to listen to someone they trust than just a random Facebook ad. So there's a lot of importance when it comes to how brands and influencers work together. And most companies, most brands, most game studios recognize that because they continue to work with them time and time again. It's a symbiotic relationship. Both benefit. And the majority, again, of the companies recognize this. But it doesn't seem that Nintendo does. Because they've always been tight on this, and they're always doing some ass-backwards, head-spinning move that just confuses the hell out of everyone. Like, why would you do that? Why would you shoot yourself in the foot? So, regardless, you know, I think some people still ended up streaming it. I don't know if this was just Japan or everywhere, but regardless, this pissed off a lot of people, and it was a dumb move. It's not how you want to, you know, go into your E3 presentation. It was a dumb move. So what do you think about this ban? Do you care? Probably not. What could Nintendo have done better? Let me know what's on your mind. All right, and with that, we're going to get into our third topic of the day. Now, I will call out Nintendo when they do something dumb. But I'll be fair, and I will also praise them when they do something right. And their E3 presentation, they did right. Damn right. Thank you, Nintendo. Thank you for having a solid showcase of games and gameplay to cap off E3. I was overall happy with their presentation. Given what we've seen at E3 this year, and what's been passing as presentations, this was a really strong showing. They really brought a lot of great games to show and a lot of content to show off, which was what we're expecting when we come to E3. The presentation itself had a really good pace, it didn't feel too long, and had a good number of games and announcements. For every game, honestly, that I wasn't even interested in, not far behind it was something I was. And there was a couple games here that I'll mention that looked really interesting to me. Mario Golf Super Rush. That's great. I remember playing Mario Golf back on the N64 days. It was one of my favorite games. Metroid Dread, which is the first 2D game in the Metroid series in 19 years. And it looked like a lot of fun. It really, really did. I liked the platforming, the animations, how it seamlessly transitioned into cutscenes that are like third and first person. They had that dynamic camera where sometimes it swings behind the shoulder. You know, and with modern technology, you can really expand on 2D games what were previously impossible in the past. I love the suit too. The suit was great. And of course, Breath of the Wild 2. Which, like, the fact that we saw any of it, people were losing their minds. And I haven't even played the first one. I've heard how great it is, so I know how many people were excited. And it got my attention. And I was like, damn, man, maybe I need to play. I need to go back and play this. I need to find it and play it. God damn, sometimes Nintendo is just so expensive for their games. But the game I loved the most, and this is just me, the game I loved the most was Mario Party Superstars. Because I play the Super Mario Party right now. I play it with my family all the time. I play them all the time. That's one of the great things, again, that I love about Nintendo. Earlier, I was saying each console, you know, has its benefits. And with the Nintendo, it's really great. I can sit down, play it with my family, play it with my wife and my daughter. And the boy, he's a little young yet. He gets a little Joy-Con, though. He's pretty good. He doesn't break it. So he gets to hang out and play, and we just play Super Mario Party or Mario Kart, and like we just have a great time on the Switch. It's a really great console for bringing the whole family together. So it's great. So I loved this new Mario Party Superstars with boards from the N64 era, because that's kind of what I was missing. I was missing those old school boards and mini games from across the series. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure we're going to have a great time, and it's definitely one we're going to be picking up this fall. I do wish there was a new Mario Kart, though. That was the one thing. I was like, man, I would really love to see a new Mario Kart. Because when did 8 come out? Like 2014 or something? Then they did the updated version. Like 8's been out for like quite a while. Anyway, that's hopefully next year. New Mario Kart next year. That would be great. But overall, really, I was happy with their presentation. I wasn't like completely blown out of my seat. But I am more interested in Nintendo games again than like I was a day ago. The problem is they're just so damn expensive. Like, I know I gotta get in there. I wanna play Breath of the Wild, find some more Mario games, download them, play those. But, like, damn, man, Nintendo always has such high prices and not a lot of sales. Even Breath of the Wild, like, I was on there. In Canadian, I think it was still like $53. Like, it was only 70, 30% off. I was like, this game's from 2017, man. Like, drop it down. Give me at least 50% off here. Like, you know, give me a break. Give me a break. So that's one of the only things holding me back from some of these Nintendo games is their pricing. But, you know, overall, their presentation, though, I freaking loved it. For me, personally, Microsoft still won. But Nintendo was, like, right behind them. And I don't even like to think of won and lost, but I like to think of it as Xbox and Nintendo came together to freaking carry E3. Because that's exactly what happened. Xbox and Nintendo carried this week. It was awesome. Nintendo, they did such a great job. So even though they pissed people off this morning, they're like, but guys, we got a really great presentation for you, which was great to see. I also love that Treehouse segment afterwards. Like, that's a good addition. That's a good addition. Getting some really solid gameplay. So they get some good and big old points for that. Hopefully, that's what we'll get on Thursday when Xbox does its extended gameplay showcase thing. But yeah, Nintendo knocked it out of the park. What did you think about Nintendo's E3 conference? Was it the best part of E3 for you? Which game has you the most excited? Let me know what's on your mind. And coming up to our fourth topic of the day, the Bandai Namco presentation. After the great Nintendo show, I was hopeful for Bandai Namco. I'm like, man, maybe they can pull it off. Nintendo did a great job here. It made me feel a lot better about E3 as a whole. Not super much better, but a little better. And I was hoping Bandai Namco could just finish it off strong. And yeah, that hope was a mistake. That hope was a mistake. Because they brought one game. One game. Like, really, man? One game. Dark Pictures Anthology, House of Ashes. Now, I'm not bashing on the game. The game in actually itself looks fun. And I like those Dark Picture Anthology games. They're a lot of fun, a lot of choices. Kind of creepy. It should be a fun time. So the game is fine. Like, I'm not bashing on the game, and the interview I actually thought was pretty interesting. But the part that's absolutely terrible is you brought one game and an interview to E3. Again, I will ask like I did yesterday, why are you even here? Why are you even here? Again, I'm fine with no one having things ready. I get the pandemic. There was stressful work conditions. Things just aren't ready. It had a big hit on the gaming industry. I get it. And that's fine with me. I'm never going to hold that against them. But if you have nothing ready, just stay the hell home. Why are you here? Or at the very least, communicate clearly that this is not a full gameplay presentation. That this is not a full, here's what's coming up in the next year, year and a half presentation. Make sure it's clear that we only have one freaking game that we're going to talk a little bit about. And that's it. Like, this should not have been called the Bandai Namco press conference. It shouldn't have been called that. It barely shouldn't even got a spot on the schedule. And to show you that I'm being fair and then being truthful, you know, WB, when they showed up this year, they were honest about their presentation. And I thought it was pretty good. They were honest saying, it's only back for blood. That's all we're showing today. Don't look for Gotham Knights. Don't look for Kill the Suicide Squad. Don't look for Mortal Kombat or the next Injustice game. Obviously, we're not getting that announced at E3 here. WB was honest, saying it's only back for blood. They set the expectations, and if you wanted to go to that to see the back for blood thing, you could. But people who want to see Batman weren't showing up, seeing back for blood and seeing it was over and being like, what the hell, where's Batman? Because they made it clear it is only back for blood. So that's my problem. If you have nothing to show, either stay home or communicate clearly so people can make informed, educated decisions on if they want to spend their time watching your conference. Quit pretending something you're not. Quit letting people down. Quit wasting people's time. Stop it. And at least E3 is over, so we won't have to dig this up back again, but listen, I did a whole rant on it, so I'm not going to keep digging into it. You can go back to my last episode and check it out. But I did like this whole rant on this exact same problem from the events the other day. Like, just set those expectations. Just inform the audience. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to bring the biggest hit games. I'm not expecting perfection. I'm just expecting communication. That's all. To be upfront with us. And that's just a problem in the gaming industry, right? Like, there's so many things that they're not upfront about their consumers with. They hide their pricing. They hide microtransactions. They don't put them in right away. They wait till after the review process, and then they sneak them in. You never actually find out how much companies are making from microtransactions or live services. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that the gaming industry keeps hush-hush and away from consumers. So there's no way for them to really educate themselves or what's going on, or if they should support or spend more money on something, or if the pricing that they're getting is actually accurate to how much money the game's making. Like, there's just so many things we don't know. Like, the movie industry, we know what a box office is and how much every movie makes. Games, that information isn't widely available. So this just seems like, to me, and again, this is just me, I know I'm ranting a little bit, just an extension of the problems with transparency in the gaming industry. And that's all I'm asking for. Just be transparent. Just be honest. Just say, hey, we only have one game. Because then people can show up or not. But people, again, maybe stayed home from work, took time off, stopped their day, whatever they're doing, to check out what Bandai Namco had. And they're like, we got one game, how's the Ashes? Yeah, a trailer you've already seen before, and a quick interview. See ya, that's it. Like, when that ended, I was like, did I miss something? Like, where's the rest of this conference? I was so, like, just confused. But that's what it was. So just quit lying, quit letting people down, communicate, be transparent. That's all I'm freaking asking. I mean, E3 overall was just a mess this year. Xbox and Nintendo's back must be killing them for carrying this whole damn event. And this stuff is all on E3 too. Like, I'm not just blaming the companies and saying E3 is perfect. The ESA is perfect. Clearly, they have issues too. And this would have been a much better if it was like a 3-conference weekend, not stretched into like 4 or 5 days, but just one weekend with 3 conferences that were good. You know, Ubisoft, Xbox, Nintendo. That's it. And that would have been a decent little couple days of information. We would have been okay with that. But most of this last E3 event has just been just a terrible waste of time because of a lack of communication and respect for the viewer's time and transparency. And that's that stuff kind of ticks me off. But we'll talk more about E3 overall in a couple days here after the dust has settled and we have a chance just to soak in all the information that we got and take another look at what was presented over the weekend and look at things that maybe they could have done better. So we'll talk about that in a couple of days. So what did you think about Bandai Namco's presentation? Does House of Ash look like a good time. I personally think it does. I think it'll be fun. It's not even the game's fault. I'm just pissed off there was no communication about it. Did you feel you wasted a lot of time with E3 this year? Did you watch all the presentations? Let me know what's on your mind. And that's all for this episode of Gaming Night Radio. Let me know what's going on inside that melon of yours. What are your thoughts on today's topics? You can contact me at gamingnightradio@gmail.com. I'll most likely be taking a break tomorrow, because I've been putting them up like every day for the last couple handful of days here now, but I'll likely be taking a break tomorrow, but I'll be back for sure on Thursday with my thoughts on Xbox Games Showcase Extended. This has been Episode 6. I'm Matt Daly. Thank you for listening, and until next time, bye-bye. You've been listening to Gaming Night Radio, the perfect podcast for your gaming nights, with discussions, reviews, news, and calling out bullshit in the gaming industry. You can follow me on Twitter at GK Radio Man. Thank you for listening. See you next time.